from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Penny Nelson in for Rachel Miro. With the passage of Proposition 30, the tax hike to fund education, many students, parents, and educators are breathing sighs of relief. The measure headed off $6 billion in cuts to education. Reporter Judy Campbell has more.
One immediate piece of good news came after Prop 30 passed. CSU students will have $249 back in their pockets, a refund from their tuition hike. But mostly, the cheers are about what's not going to happen. For instance, school districts are no longer threatening to lop weeks off of the school year. Governor Jerry Brown.
The good news is the state has been reaching into the pocket of school districts to take money out because it couldn't pay its bills. That day is over. We are now living within our means because of the cuts and because of Prop 30.
Brown says now the state can pay back its debt, and as the economy improves, money will start flowing back into schools. He estimates about $2,500 per student going into schools over the next 4 or 5 years.
This is not instant coffee here. This takes time and effort, but over the next few years, we're on a correct glide path.
Education reporter John Fensterwald with EdSource Today says Prop 30 stops the bleeding.
We've hit the bottom, and now we can start to look at some slow, gradual increases. Prop 30 is really important because it ends the structural deficit that the state had with its state budget.
And Prop 30 did something else, says Jerry Brown. Its passage shows Californians are willing to invest in the state.
Given the massive opposition and the skepticism about whether or not the state government of California can handle any more money, I see this as a vote of confidence. Voters have trusted the elected representative, and now we've got to meet that trust.
Still, Brown acknowledged many people did not vote for the measure, and legislators need to be aware there are still deep divisions in how Californians feel about taxes and their government. For the California Report, I'm Judy Campbell in Sacramento.
There was one unexpected outcome of Tuesday's election. Democrats appear to have won 2/3 supermajorities in both the Senate and the Assembly. The California Report's Scott Schaefer takes a look at how they might use that power.
During his victory lap at the state capitol Wednesday, Governor Brown was asked how Democrats might flex their muscles if they no longer need Republican votes to raise taxes.
When I was doing Zen meditation in Japan back in the late 80s, each night before going to bed, I would say with the other meditators, desires are endless. I vow to cut them down.
As a wily veteran of Sacramento politics, Brown knows he's the firewall against Democrats who might now feel emboldened and overreach, for example, by raising taxes. Brown wouldn't say if he'd veto any tax increases sent to his desk, but he did say he wants to focus on things like reforming education, improving the state's water system, and recalibrating state regulations. And former Governor Gray Davis said Democrats will pay a price if they don't use their newfound power to focus on reducing unemployment.
And so it's incumbent upon the majority party, in this case the Democrats, to act responsibly. If they pass a tax increase every 15 minutes, the voters will rebel and they'll be out of office.
Supermajorities would give Democrats the ability to place things before voters without Republican support. Former Governor Davis suggested bond measures to build new schools and improve light rail, creating jobs in the process. But Tom Del Beccaro, chair of the Republican Party in California, says unfettered Democratic power will impede an economic recovery.
More entrepreneurs and jobs are going to be leaving the state for no-tax or low-tax states, and that's going to lead to even bigger deficits and more unemployment.
But Del Beccaro acknowledges that Tuesday's election puts California Republicans even deeper into the political wilderness.
Republicans don't have a consistent relationship with the Latino community, with young voters, with Asian voters, with black voters. And until they work on those things and the immigration issue, it's going to be very hard for Republicans to be competitive long term.
Of course, the upside of one party having complete control over state government, when things go wrong, voters know exactly who to blame. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer.
California's congressional delegation will include about a dozen new faces next year. Redistricting and the state's top two primary system led to an unusual number of competitive races and a few upsets, and Democrats are the beneficiaries. Of the state's 53 congressional districts, 34 are currently represented by Democrats. With Tuesday's voting, at least one more seat will turn blue. Three other races are still too close to call. Parts of the Inland Empire are looking a lot more purple after Election Day. KPCC's Stephen Cuevas says areas once seen as Republican strongholds gave way to a wave of Democratic newcomers.
Riverside Community College Board trustee Mark Decano wasn't yet ready to claim victory, as early election night results showed him outpacing his Republican opponent in the newly drawn 41st congressional district.
So let's be patient, luxuriate in the feeling we have now, and be hopeful that change has come to Riverside.
Within hours, it was clear that Decano had become the first openly gay Asian American elected to Congress. He believes that success was partly driven by a wave of younger voters he says are more accepting of gay candidates. Robert Melch supported Decano in two prior unsuccessful congressional bids when opponents circulated anti-gay campaign flyers. That didn't happen this time.
That shows you that not only is Riverside getting blue politically, but it's growing up. 4 years from now, it'll be more majorities Hispanic. It'll be diversified, and Republicans will be running for cover.
In what's shaping up to be one of the election's biggest upsets, political first-timer Raul Ruiz holds a narrow lead over veteran GOP Congresswoman Mary Bono Mack of Palm Springs. The county registrar's office still has nearly 200,000 mail-in and absentee ballots to tally. Registered Democrats outnumber Republicans by a narrow majority in the newly drawn 36th district. It's the first time Bono Mack sought re-election without her Republican advantage. The Congresswoman was also hurt by a comment she made referring to the city of Coachella as a third-world toilet. The valley is home to a large number of Latinos who make up about a third of the district's voters. During an election night interview with the Palm Springs Desert Sun, Bono Mack all but conceded the race, with thousands of votes still left to tally.
Historically, the trend would say that the numbers will continue to go the way they are going, that he will win.
Republicans held ground in other parts of the Inland Empire, including the 31st Congressional District, which includes San Bernardino. But by toppling the GOP in several other key races, Democrats might now see the region as a winnable battleground for future state and national candidates. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas in Riverside.
And that's the California Report for Thursday, November 8th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. Chevron, committed to helping California grow by supporting small businesses and investing in education. More information available at chevron.com. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as preventing network intrusions and data theft by hackers. Barracuda.com.